Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful to be here today. And Lord, we just ask you to be with us and help us, Lord, to turn that corner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, this is watering the seed thoughts that are in your mind. Now, we've been preaching on about 6 weeks on quotes from Brother Branham talking about the seed word is, or actually the word is the seed. But what I want to do is change course a little bit for the next 6 weeks. And we're going to really have a in-depth study on how we can affect the seed that's in us. Okay? And so let's just bow our heads one more time in prayer. Dear gracious Father and loving Father, you gave us the principle to think about these last days, which even your son, our brother, spoke to us when he said, out from the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And you also said in your word, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Therefore we realize, Father, this speaks of all men. And we know that we are the product of what we sow in our mind. And we believe the reason you came down to this hour is to change our minds and to renew our mind, that we might receive a bodily transformation. For you told us in your word that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. Therefore, Father, we approach thy word with reverence this morning as we seek to have our own minds changed, and we ask that the mind that was in Christ come into us. That is our desire this morning, Father, and with these thoughts in mind, we graciously ask your transforming power to touch us in our minds, that our hearts might become regenerated with thy life, for we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, we've been focusing on Brother Branham's thoughts, the seed is the word of God. We went into the New Testament parables where Jesus explained that the seed which the Son of Man sowed is also the word of God. Now this morning, I would like to look again at these, at several paragraphs, actually three paragraphs from spoken word as original seed, because not only does Brother Branham speak to us concerning the word of God as a seed, but he also expresses that seed must be watered if it is to produce or manifest the life that is in the seed. I want to say that one more time. We're going to look again at some thoughts Brother Branham gave us, because he's talking about not only is God's word a seed, but how to express that seed that lays within us. You know, because you could have seed in you, and if it's not watered by the Spirit, it lays dormant. Just like the seeds that David had lay dormant for many, many years, 2,000 years, and then they planted some and they said, hey, this still grows seed. So this morning we're going to examine the watering process to show how the watering of the seed is necessary to bring the seed to life, or rather to bring the life in the seed into manifestation. Now from the spoken word is original seed. He said, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. What is the seed of life? The word of God. Therefore, for life, you can't come through a creed. You can't come through a denomination. You've got to come back to the word. Now, the seed of life, all right, his word is a seed, and his spirit is the water. Now, right back to John 3:14, there you get it again. You see, the spirit is the water. Now, look, John 3:14, we understand what it means if you want to read it. As Moses lifted up this brass serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. See? Now, if Moses lifted up the brass serpent of the for the same cause that Christ was lifted up, now, what is it? Moses lifted up the brass serpent so that the people that was perishing might have water for life. And look, Jesus, oh God, Jesus is the Word of God. Now, we're going to hammer that down this afternoon. See, prove it. Jesus is the Word of God, and he was bursted open, that life, the life that's inside the seed, that this life, which is spirit, water flowing over the spirit, over the seed of God, will bring forth the life of the seed. And to bring forth something else, there's some other kind of seed in there. That's what I want you to notice. We're going to get into this a little bit. Amen. Do you understand? If the Spirit of God comes forth to water the seed, if it's the seed it's watering, it'll produce the life of the seed. That clear? Produce the life of the seed, for that's what it gives for. I believe the Bible is the Word, the whole truth, and Jesus is the Word made manifest. He and His Word is one and the same. What was He? Now look, He was that seed. Now, I've got to hold something back in order to get it in here this evening. You see, it's hard. He was that seed that Eve should have produced. Do you get it? He was the seed that Eve was to produce, but she was hybrid to it by disbelieving God's word. In other words, as I mentioned last week, if she first of all, she heard the serpent quote the scripture, but he was off. In other words, he's misquoting the scripture. And she took that over what her husband told her, because God never told her. God told him before she was created. So then she quoted another man instead of her husband. And there's where the seed started. Okay, that's where the life began. That's where the, you know, then it led to the act. Okay, so he was that seed. And the only way that life could be in the reproduction of life had to come through that seed, and that seed had to die in order to spread out the life. Can't see it? Can't you see it? That's why the water was given to water the seed. Now, we know that the Word of God is a seed. We've been preaching on it for 6 weeks now. In fact, the Apostle Peter tells us that the Word of God is an incorruptible seed. And if the Word of God is an incorruptible seed, then what is a corruptible seed? Can anybody tell me? What's a corruptible seed? Come on, y'all know.
Non-word,
okay. Coming from who? Not coming from God. Coming from man. Right? All right, so you say corruptible seed? Yes, that's what Peter says in 1 Peter 1:23. He said, there is an incorruptible seed and a corruptible seed. But he says the incorruptible seed is the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, not of a man's creed. You see it? You see why Brother Bram hit creeds all the time? Not of a man's doctrine, not of a church's organizational teachings, but of the incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So according to the Word of God, there is a corruptible seed and an incorruptible seed, and the difference is in the life. You see, Eve had a corruptible seed from the serpent. And she had an incorruptible seed from her husband. Well, she chose the incorruptible seed from the serpent over her husband, and it produced a life of Cain. All right? One lives and abides forever, so it is an eternal life in that seed. Therefore, the other life would have to be other than incorruptible and eternal. Now, from his sermon, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Bram said, I believe that this Bible, this word right here, the Bible, is God in print form. And I believe that Bible is a seed. Those words are seeds. Jesus said, a sower went forth sowing seeds. This is it. The Word of God is a seed. Jesus said it was. Then, if it is God in print form, and you receive it into your heart, and then the Holy Spirit waters that seed, it brings forth what it promised. That's really tremendous, because it's God working in you to will then to do. Okay. Then Brother Brown says, any kind of seed you sow, it'll bring forth that kind of crop. Exactly right. We sowed in this great revival, going by a lot of intellectual seed. We've got an intellectual crop. That's right. If we would sow God's seed, we'd have a gospel crop. And we need to get back to the principles and the Bible teaching, back to the Bible, back to the Holy Spirit upon the Word of God that makes the Word of God live. That's exactly what it was. Now, I got a call yesterday from a minister who heard from another minister about a sermon I preached years ago, and I called it The Garden of Your Mind. And I thought, you know, that sermon ties in so well with what Brother Bram is saying here. And I know it has been many, many years since I preached that sermon, but I believe that the Holy Spirit wants me to do this and bring this out again. So I'm going to kind of touch on, for the next couple of weeks, on the garden in your mind. Because it's very important, you know, it's something I preached maybe 10, 20 years ago. It's very, very important for us to understand that everything that's in your mind is a seed. Now, all you got to do is water it, and it becomes a reality to you. If you don't water it, then it dies, okay? In fact, that is the way that The best way to learn is, you know, through rote teaching, which is over and over and over again, until these principles become so ingrained in our minds that we just cannot forget them. So we will again examine the principles we lay down for you concerning the watering of the seeds that lays within our mind. Because the seeds we plant in our heart and our mind have life in them. And it just takes a watering to bring them into manifestation. And we know that every seed we plant in our mind and our heart will come into manifestation if we just water it. And since we are studying about, you know, there's a lot of people into positive thinking, you know, this kind of thing. Well, you know, they've got a principle there that they're using, and that's that the seeds in your mind are there, and if you water them, it's going to produce, okay? And since we are studying about the original seed, is the spoken word, and we find Brother Branham is speaking about the Word of God being a seed, that must be watered for it to come come alive and manifest the Word of God in our life. Therefore, he is laying out for us the law of reproduction, whereby whatever seed is planted, the life that is in that seed cannot come forth into manifestation of the same nature of that seed that is planted until it is watered. Okay? Therefore, I will ask the question, how many of you in here would plant watermelon seeds, but in reality you are expecting grapefruits? Anybody? I challenge you. Anybody? No. Okay. None. I'm shocked. Okay. Of course not. You know better than that. So then why do we sow certain kinds of seeds in our life and then expect the results to be different than what we have sown? All right. Let's begin our message this morning by reading from the following scripture. In Matthew 13:24-30, another parable put he forth, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that soweth seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade sprung up and brought forth, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath the tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and tear them up? Now see, this is a question of many, many ministers in this message. They're tearing up the fields, and we shouldn't be doing that. We should just say, look, I don't care what you believe. The word says this, okay? So, but he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat. So just listen to what he said, okay? Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Again, in Mark 4:4, he says that it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. And in Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. So we examined these scriptures this morning, and I want you to see that there are three things that we should notice here. Number one, he is speaking of a seed that was sown into the ground, and we know by definition that a seed is life. Number two, and of course, if it's life, it's a nature. Then, number two, this life that is within the seed must come forth into manifestation and bring forth an expression of the life that lays within it, and it cannot express anything outside of what life lays within it. And then three, by viewing that life expression, you will know what life is in it, which is identification. That's why we live holy. So we can be identified as to being sons and daughters of God, okay? Now, let's begin by looking at this point. The seed that is sown is the Word of God. And Mark, of course, says that, you know, it was sown, some fell by the wayside, some of the fowls of the air came to borrow them up. So we read in 1 John 1:4, in the beginning was the Word. Well, now, God's the Word. And the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. So notice, in him was life. And that is why all things were made by him, because it takes life to bring forth life. And he is the Word, so the life is in the Word. Now, let's read the parable that Brother Branham used in this sermon, the spoken word's original seed. I just want to go back to it. He uses a parable from Luke 8 and 14. And if you get a chance, go back and listen to Brother Bram's sermon. The spoken word is the original seed, because we preached 266 messages on it, and Brother Bram preached 6.5 hours on it, and Billy Paul told me, his daddy said, that is the message. So if you really want to know what the message is, go back to that sermon, okay? Now, from Luke 8, he says, and when the much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. And a sower went forth sowing seeds. And he sowed some. Some fell by the wayside. Some was trodden down. The fowls of the earth devoured it. And some fell upon rocks. And soon it was sprung up. It withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they see, they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. See, that's a very important point. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then come the devil and take away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these having no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. What happens? The weed grows up, it chokes off what? The plant. The plant then produces no fruit because it's choked off, right? Which is, but that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, notice that the seed that was sown is the word of God. And yet we see that unless this word or seed is sown in the proper place, it will not produce life. So in 1 Peter 1:23, which we read this morning, that the word of God is not only a seed, but an incorruptible seed. Therefore it is called a seed, and yet we found in 1 Peter that there are two types of seed, or words, which are sown: a corruptible word and an incorruptible word. And the evidence that we have received an incorruptible word in the right kind of soil is that we shall live and abide forever. Now, let's take this thought a step further. If Peter is telling us there are two different types of seeds, one which is corruptible and the other which is not corruptible, and if one is called the word of God, then the other must be the words of who? Of one who is not God. Therefore, if a seed must manifest its life, then one life will manifest attributes which are eternal, while the other will manifest attributes which shall surely perish. Now, furthermore, we know that the Son of Man went forth sowing the seeds, and the man that was in black was Satan, who goes behind him with his own version of the word, which is another gospel or one of a different nature. So if he sows a different seed, it must have a different nature. For the law of reproduction says every seed will bring forth of its kind. Now, from the message Israel in Egypt, Brother Bram said, well, I say, I don't need anybody to teach me. Glory to God, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, then the Holy Ghost was wrong when it said that it set some in the church teachers. God put them in there as teachers, to teach church to teach. God put them in the church as teachers. That settles it. Why did he put teachers in there if the Holy Ghost is going to do all the teaching? See, what people need is their brains baptized besides water. That's right. So, again in the message, demonology, he said, instead of baptizing your body, you need your brains baptized. That's right. You don't stop to think of things. You don't try to consider it. It's just like all these people around the world, and I'm not saying anybody in particular, but are listening to the prophet's message over and over again, and it becomes like background music. You know, some of them just listen to it in their car because it's convenient. But, you know, so they do that, and they're not getting anything out of it. It's just a drone. You should be studying this word like we took 266 messages from just one of Brother Bram's sermons. We've taken 129 so far. from just another one of Brother Branham's sermons. So in the message, Blasphemous Names, Brother Branham said, the biggest part of our faith is mental faith. Well, see, if you're just listening to the message as a drone, you're not even getting that far, a mental faith. But by hearing the word, it brings us to a mental recognition of God. But if this coming from above, oh brother, if it ever strikes this, there is a godly spiritual faith. Then what does that faith do? That faith recognizes only the word. No matter what anything else says, it only recognizes the word, because in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, and the word still God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And when word itself is pouring into our faith. Now listen, what did he say? We're thinking, okay, now the Spirit's going to pour into our faith. No, when the word itself is pouring into our faith, our mental faith, it becomes a spiritual revelation. You see why it's so important to talk the word? You see why it's so important every day? Like, you know, we have certain brothers we share with, just quotes, the prophet is getting us ready. And just, you know, just we share certain quotes, and just we want our mental faith to be boosted by the word so that it becomes a spiritual revelation. Now, catch his words here. When we pour the word through the mental faith we have, it becomes an anointed by God. And upon this foundation, I'll build my church. See, not a mental conception of joining church, a mental conception of that, but upon the revelation. When them streams of grace has poured into that mental faith that you've got, then upon this, a spiritual revelation, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. See? Now, in studying the law of reproduction, the next principle I want to bring out, the life that is within the seed must come forth into manifestation and bring forth an expression of the life that lies within it. And it cannot express anything outside of what life is in it. Therefore, every seed must bring forth after its kind. That's such a beautiful sermon. And, you know, I should really put that in red, because that's the Bible. All right. So, from God revealing himself to his people, Brother Branham said, the right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. Do you believe that? The word is a seed. Is that right? That a sower sowed in the ground. And every seed will bring forth of its kind. If you need salvation, the seed is here. If you need healing, here's the seed in the word. The word of God is the seed. Put it in your heart. Don't dig it up every morning to see if it's sprouted in there, and leave it there. It's God's own business to bring forth the harvest. You just leave it there. Water it by faith and praise every day, thanking God for it. All right. And just a couple more quotes here from thy word. He said, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but at thy word, Lord, that's it. Take God at his word, and God's spoken word must materialize and produce exactly what is said it will do. Listen, the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. I don't care what it is. If you want corn, you plant corn. Water corn. Leave corn alone. It'll produce corn. Is that right? Wheat will produce wheat. The promise of salvation will produce a Christian. The promise of the Holy Ghost will produce it in you. The promise of divine healing will make you well. And divine promise of God, and the Bible said that the word of God is a seed, is that right? Well, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the sermon. I know it was very short this morning, but Lord, there's just one thing I want the people to walk away with, and that's to trust your word, because your word will produce exactly what you meant it for. And so, Lord, we just commit ourselves to your word, and we ask that you would bless it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.